Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. He will come like frost. One morning, when the shrinking earth opens on mist to find itself, arrested in the net of alien sword-set beauty.
He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Advent is a time of preparation and anticipation for the one who will lift up the low places, make the mountains small and the uneven ground smooth. Today, we light the candle of peace as we wait for Jesus to come again to turn violence into peace. Thanks be to God.
Join us in singing our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn number 91, found at the end of your online worship bulletin. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low.
The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain.
Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord." John the Baptizer calls out to us in the wilderness, "Repent and make ready your hearts for the Lord." In our repentance, our turning away from sin, we are promised forgiveness. By confessing our sins, we are assured of the grace that was and is known in our baptisms. Let us heed the Baptist's call and make our confession to God and one another, saying together, "Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget. Cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Comfort, O comfort my people, says our God of unending love. We have received from the Lord's hand sure forgiveness. Listen as God tenderly speaks forgiveness into your life. Here is our God, one who leads us safely like a shepherd to green pastures and still waters. We are forgiven indeed. Let us praise now our God in song by singing together the hymn, Comfort, Comfort Ye My People, hymn number 94, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Comfort, comfort ye my people, speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning 'neath their sorrows' load. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and her warfare now is over. Hark the voice of one that crieth in the desert far and near, calling us to new repentance since the kingdom now is here. Oh, that warning cry obey, now prepare for God away. Let the valleys rise to meet him, and the hills bow down to greet him. Make he straight what long was crooked, make the rougher places plain. Let your hearts be true and humble, as befits his holy reign. For the glory of the Lord, now all earth is shed abroad, and all flesh shall see the token that his word is never broken.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Stephanie Paulsell, the interim minister of the Memorial Church, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Sunday worship. Whether you've worshiped with us before or are joining us for the first time, please know that you are very welcome here. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. Today is the second Sunday in the season of Advent, and we're grateful to Eric, Carrie, and Liam Anderson for lighting the second candle of the Advent wreath, which represents peace. Thanks also to Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and to Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow and director of our Sunday school, who lead us in worship. The first lesson is read by Alden Fawcett, class of 2021, student deacon and member of our student advisory board. And the second lesson is read by Howard K. Jr., an active participant in our congregation and a member of the Memorial Church Book Group. Edward Jones, Gund University organist and choirmaster, leads us in the hymns, and David Von Baron, our associate organist and choirmaster, recorded the prelude and postlude in First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. The offertory and anthem are taken from the archives of the Harvard University Choir. We're so grateful to all who have helped to create this hour of worship. I'm very happy to announce that we will hold Harvard's 111th Carol Service this Christmas Eve, December 24th at 5 p.m. The members of the Harvard University Choir, under the direction of Edward Jones, have been working all semester to create this service. Carol services have been held at Harvard through times of war and plague and stress, and thanks to our dedicated musicians, there will be one this year as well. We hope you will tune in on Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. on our website or on our YouTube channel. The Harvard chaplains invite us all to join them for a weekly Zoom session on sustaining practices for perilous times, an opportunity to learn and share what keeps us going through these fractured and difficult days. The series takes place on Mondays from 5 to 5:30 p.m. through December 14th and features members of the Harvard community offering insight into their spiritual practices. There's more information and a link for registration in the bulletin. We are grateful to Rachel Lichen, our multi-religious engagement fellow, for her work on this important project. We invite you to check our website for information about other upcoming virtual programs, our Student Deacon Program, MemCafe, the Faith and Life Forum for Adults, Sunday School for Children, and our Instagram Live broadcast on Practices of Hope, which takes place every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. and will continue this semester through December 10th. On this second Sunday of Advent, we begin waiting together for the birth of Christ in the world. As we come to the moment when we share the peace of Christ among us and beyond us, let's recommit ourselves to weaving the fabric of community in this church, on this campus, in the world around us in every way we can, ways large and small. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offering this morning goes to the Phillips Brooks House for their annual toy drive. PBHA is hoping to raise enough money for 1,000 toys and gifts for children in the Boston area. To participate in PBHA's toy drive, simply click on the donate button at the top right-hand corner of the Memorial Church homepage. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at the first verse. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. and people from the whole Judean countryside, and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, give us your attention as we again seek to prepare the way for the Lord. As we journey deeper and deeper into Advent, O God, we find it harder and harder to wait. We are impatient. Particularly this year, we yearn to experience your justice, your salvation, your love, your joy, and your peace. And waiting is so very hard. When we look around the world, we see hatred and fear, violence and destruction. Yet at the same time, there are also glimmers of hope and preludes of peace. Prince of Peace, we live in a world beset by conflict. Hear our prayers for those rough places in our lives and in the lives of others that we bring forward to you during this time of communion with you. Fill the valleys with your light. Level the uneven paths with your grace. And grant that your Spirit might so move us and others that your saving presence might be visible to all. Gracious and loving God, we pray today for the healing of wounds, both emotional and physical, for your loving Spirit to descend on all those who suffer. Holy One, we are all knitted together through you. You have given us one another to love and care for each other. In so many of the ways that we normally express our support and love, we are not able to do at this time. In fact, we are told that it is in fact loving to stay distant from one another. Help us to find new ways to reach out or rediscover beloved rituals or traditions that might remind us that we are all connected to something much greater, more mystical, more divine than ourselves. Our time is precious. Give us the courage to reach out to our neighbors in love and in trust. O God, in this troubled world, kindle in us yet again the precious hope that comes from you. Lord, we pray for those whose presence we long for those whose absence rests heavily on our hearts. In this time that is usually marked by homecomings and celebrations, watch over all who are isolated and lonely, O God. This can be a bitter time for so many. Please be with our students as they enter exam time, as many prepare to return home, and many begin to discern what the spring term might look for them. We pray for those who are far from loved ones, for those who have no home to return to. May all find strength and a measure of peace in you. Eternal One, this week we are suspended between despair and hope. We have learned that more people have died in this country of COVID-19 than any other week. Yet we are also grateful to learn the news of miraculous vaccinations that are on the way. Be with us as we wait. Grant us patience and wisdom and mercy for days and weeks to come, especially as the days get shorter and the nights get colder. During this time of preparation and anticipation, may all the earth be captured by the will to love. May all the earth be touched to change. Source of truth, this work is not yours to do alone. We cannot wait passively for your coming. You claimed us as your body, so move us to one another. Fire our imaginations and give us the grace to accompany and work with others that they may catch a glimpse of your future. You sent your servant, John the Baptist, to preach in the desert and summon the people to repentance. Make us and all things new, that the wilderness of our world and in our lives, we may prepare a way for Jesus. Abba, Papa, Heavenly Father, you have known us since before our birth, welcomed us again and again into the home of your heart. Let us be that to one another, and you will be born again and again. Fill us with your Spirit as we seek your peace for all people, for all creation. May we continue the collective work of reconciliation, that we may truly bring about your wholeness into this broken world. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Let them lead us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then we will go to your altar, O God, our exceeding joy. And we will praise you with the harp, O God, our God. Amen. Classes ended this past Thursday, and now our students are studying for exams and writing their final papers. At this very moment, I expect, students are sitting in front of their computer screens, pondering their first sentences, searching for the right way to begin. As anyone who has ever written anything knows, the right beginning can set us off in a fruitful direction and make room for our ideas to unfold. But the wrong beginning can lead us down cul-de-sacs and into dead ends. That's true for sermons, as for term papers. There's a painting by Botticelli of St. Augustine at his desk, broken quills and crumpled bits of paper scattered on the floor at his feet. I like to think that Augustine is searching in that painting for a way to begin his autobiography, his confessions. He chose in the end, not his own words, but the words of Scripture. Great are you, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. And that first sentence somehow gave his story room to unfurl. On the face of it, it feels like it should be easy to find the beginning of the story of a life, to begin with birth and move forward. But as Augustine acknowledges, by beginning the story of his life not with his birthday, but with the passage of Scripture written long before he was born, it's not easy to find where the story of our lives begins. Chaplaincy training programs famously ask each applicant to write, quote, a reasonably full account of your life. Where to start? With one's birth, with the lives of one's parents, grandparents, with the life of the world into which one is born? It can be hard to find the beginning of the story. This is a dilemma for the four gospel writers as well, because they each begin the story of the life of Jesus in a different way. The Gospel of Matthew begins with a family tree that traces Jesus' beginning back to Abraham and follows his lineage all the way down to Mary and Joseph. Luke begins his gospel with stories about Mary's cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. He locates them politically, in the days of King Herod, and religiously. Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses. Like Matthew, Luke surrounds Jesus with family and locates his beginnings not just in the branches his parents and relatives make on his family tree, but in the stories of their own lives. Luke tells us long, detailed stories about Elizabeth, Zechariah, and Mary before he even gets to the birth of Jesus. The beginning of the Gospel of John is different still. John locates Jesus' beginning in the beginning of existence itself, drawing on the opening words of the book of Genesis. John writes that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John's cosmic account, Jesus is the beginning of everything. Howard read for us this morning the beginning of Mark's gospel, the earliest gospel we have, a gospel that Matthew and Luke used to write their own. Where Matthew and Luke are expansive, Mark tends to cut to the chase. With no birth narrative, no wise men or shepherds or special stars in the sky, Mark jumps right in with his first sentence, the beginning, he writes, of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That simple opening might be seen as a very compressed version of the opening of all four Gospels. Jesus begins in God. But Mark does open his gospel with a story, the story of John the Baptist, who appears in the wilderness with no backstory like the one he has in Luke. Mark seems to conjure him from a passage of Scripture from Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Mark finds the beginning of the story of Jesus not in his lineage, not in his family, not in the cosmos, but in the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, the human voice that rises up out of the desert of exile, bewilderment, and pain in every age, in every place and time. A voice that expresses the longing of humanity for a future with hope, as the prophet Jeremiah puts it. A voice that cries out for a new beginning, suffused with God's presence and the rejoicing of a regathered community. We can hear this longing in the passage from Isaiah that Alden read for us this morning. Comfort, O comfort my people. The glory of God will be revealed, and God will care for us like a shepherd with his flock. I find this passage both consoling and painful at once. Consoling because it looks toward a day of joyful reunion. Painful because it is haunted by the experience of exile. These themes speak almost too precisely to our own moment in time. If we were to write a beginning for the coronavirus pandemic, where would we start? Would we begin with the patient zero on the other side of the world? Or with the defunding of public health preparation in our own country? Did the pandemic begin for us the first time we heard a new virus had been discovered? Or when we went to buy groceries and found empty shelves? Did it begin when we arrived at the Memorial Church for morning prayers and were met on the steps by Wes Kahn, gently telling us morning prayers had been suspended? For many of our students, the pandemic began the day they got an email saying that they had only a few days to pack up and say goodbye to their community, some for the last time. For too many others, the beginning of the story was the moment of diagnosis of oneself or a loved one, the moment the pandemic became fearfully real. Of course, it's not the beginning of the pandemic we're searching for in these days, but its ending. The moment when we can return home to the loved ones we haven't seen since last spring or even longer. When we can regather in our sacred spaces, in our classrooms, in our homes. When we can once again hug each other, sit with each other in the hospital, sing and laugh and cry together without fear of passing the virus to each other. Like the beginning, though, the ending won't be easy to identify. The scientists tell us that the pandemic won't suddenly stop. There won't be a moment when we can all rush into the street and throw our arms around each other. Although I confess I've imagined such a moment many times and thought how wonderful it would be. And yet the situation we're in will not last forever. Slowly, by fits and starts, things will begin changing. We have a future together. And that is what Isaiah calls us to remember and to prepare for. It's what John the Baptist imagined as he called people to repent, to turn, to change. It's what Jesus embodied when John held him beneath the water of the Jordan River and pulled him up again, renewed. These are the beginnings Mark invokes at the start of his gospel. Beginnings that point us toward a future that we are called to turn toward, to build a way to. Prepare the way of the Lord, Isaiah says, the way of justice, the way of peace. This is the call of Advent, itself a beginning, a chance to begin again. Our religious seasons rarely coincide neatly with the facts of our lives, and this year is no different. Advent meets us not at a new beginning, but in the middle of something terrible. But that's the blessing of these seasons. They meet us year after year on the road of our lives, no matter what is happening, and they remind us that things could be otherwise. The prophetic voices of Advent resound in their wilderness and in ours as well, calling us to repent, to change direction, to step off the paths that disregard the lives of others and enrich a few at the expense of the many, and to create new ways of living together in which every person's dignity is reverenced, every person's life cherished. This is a dark season in every way. The days are shorter, the nights longer, and the pandemic grows daily more dangerous. The darkness of Advent, though, is not just the darkness of winter nights. The darkness of Advent is the sacred darkness of the womb, the place where we were knit together in secret, the place where John the Baptist first felt the future coming and leapt with joy to greet it. These weeks of waiting for something new to be born among us are beyond beginnings and endings. The call to prepare the way for the Lord won't end with the coming of Christmas, or the arrival of a vaccine, or the inauguration of a new president. No matter who is in power, we will always have to be working together to make a path over which love can move. For there is not a single moment of our existence in which Christ is not waiting to be born among us. Amen.
On Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings from the King of Kings. Then cleanse me every breast from sin, make straight the way for God within. Yea, let us each our hearts prepare for Christ to come and enter there. For thou art our salvation, Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Once more upon thy people shine and fill the world with love divine. All praise eternal, Son, to thee, whose advent sets thy people free, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Ghost forevermore.
May God be for us, and we for one another, a defense in emergency, a harbor in shipwreck, a refuge on the journey, shade in the heat, light in the storm, a staff on the slippery slope, joy amid suffering, consolation in sadness, safety in adversity, caution in prosperity, that we may safely arrive where we are boldly going. Amen.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.